Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, 25 September 2025, 3rd John.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 3 John. You got to figure out the chapter. 3 John. And in preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for one more day of freedom in Client Nation USA. The freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. We have an update on the Las Ventanas Senior Living Center. The Las Ventanas Heaven Special Lesson on Wednesday, September 24th, went very well with the usual group of ladies. The men are all in reversionism. No, I don't know, but the ladies come anyway. Pastor Olson taught the second half of Lesson 20, continuing his description of the three stages of marriage in the ancient world. The first stage is the contract stage, secondly, then the wedding stage, and third, the celebration stage, and how they parallel Christ's marriage to his bride, the church. Several in the group had to leave early for another event, but they promised to attend next week. The great thing about repetition is that next week the ladies who had to leave early will hear the missed points as part of the pastor's review in the beginning of Lesson 21. To God be the glory as he continues to bless the ministry at Las Ventanas, and as always, your prayers are greatly appreciated. Rich Blair. Third John. Well, we still are for a few more verses. We're getting into verse 5. And we still have down to verse 8, we have one of the greatest believers in the ancient world, Gaius. Gaius is the best of the best. And it's going to be such a contrast when we finish with Gaius, and then we have Diotrephes, who is the worst of the worst. And we're going to have him, and then we're going to also have a fellow named Demetrius, who The Apostle John is going to present to the church that this man Demetrius has the gift of pastor teacher. He is prepared, and he is the one who you ought to look at and accepting as the pastor of your local church. So we'll see. We have Gaius, then Diotrephes, and then Demetrius. 3 John, starting in the corrected translation of verse 1, the old man. Now, that's a translation of the word presbyteros, which is one of the words for the spiritual gift of pastor teacher, the old man. Now, you see, I am the old man. And some of you are saying, oh, brother, are you old? You are really old man. No, it's the old man in the sense of being the commander, the four-star general of the local church is the presbyteros, the old man, the commander. To my dear friend Gaius, whom I love with virtue love, in the sphere of, here's the key word, 4 times, aletheia, absolute truth. Dear friend, I pray that you may succeed and prosper in everything, and be in good health, just as your soul is succeeding and prospering. He is a winner believer. Gaius has the entire package, greater grace blessing package. Verse 3. For I was exceedingly happy when fellow believers, members of the royal family, came and bore witness to your aletheia, absolute truth. Namely, how you, Gaius, keep on walking, keep on living your life in aletheia, in the absolute truth of the Word of God. I absolutely have no greater happiness than these things. That is, to keep on hearing that my students are walking, living the spiritual life in the sphere of aletheia, the absolute truth of the Word of God. And then we just looked at the very first word of verse 5, and then we had an aside. We got to the first word of verse 5, it's a verbal adjective, agapetos. Agapetos, A-G-A-P, long E-T-O-S. Verbal adjective, and it's a special word that's used in the church age and by the Apostle John and by the Apostle Paul both. They use this verbal adjective for the royal family of God. So by using this verbal adjective, the Apostle John is putting the spotlight on the royal family of God. And that brought us to a study of the doctrine of the royal family of God. And so far, we have studied the first 4 points. Point 1, the basis for the royal family of God. A royal family is the family of a king. The Lord Jesus Christ is the King of all kings. And the Lord Jesus Christ has 3 categories of royalty. Divine royalty, and his title is the Son of God. Jewish royalty, and his title is the Son of David. Battlefield royalty, as a result of his strategic victory on the cross, and his title is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the bright morning star. And then point 2, we looked at the definition and description of the royal family of God. The royal family of God is defined as every church age believer. This is a title for believers living in the church age from Pentecost to the rapture. We're living in the church age. And prior to the church age, believers, those who place their faith in Christ, were family of God. Family. But in this dispensation, a unique, a new spiritual species, we are royal family of God. What a blessing. How fantastic that is. We, through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we have all been entered into union with Jesus Christ. We're in union with the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. We are royal family of God. Never before in human history. What a blessing for us to be royal family of God. So, royal family of God is defined as every church age believer, regardless of his race or his background. Whatever we were before, we are now royal family of God. This is a permanent royalty that will last forever. We will always be royal family of God. Our royalty is eternal and secure since it is related to our union with Jesus Christ through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This means all church age believers are in full-time royal service for Christ as royal priests and as royal ambassadors. As royal priests representing ourselves before God and as royal ambassadors representing Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. The royal family is formed by the baptism of the Holy Spirit at the moment of faith in Christ, salvation. At salvation, the Holy Spirit enters us into union with Christ, which makes us royal family of God. The baptism of the Spirit is identification with Christ as royalty. We are in union with the King of all kings. We are accepted positionally as royalty, just as Christ is accepted in fact as royalty. We share all that Christ is and has as royalty in union with him. The nomenclature for the royal family of God is, first of all, church. And the word church emphasizes the function of the royal family of God during the dispensation of the church age. Secondly, we have the title body of Christ. We are the body of Christ here on earth, emphasizing the utilization of the same divine power, divine omnipotence that the Lord Jesus Christ used in his true humanity at the first advent to sustain his humanity. And that is God the Holy Spirit through the universal indwelling of the Spirit, totally unique to this dispensation, providing the base of operations for the filling of the Spirit, the divine power to live the unique spiritual life of the church age. And third, we have the title Bride of Christ, emphasizing the royal family of God following the rapture, the resurrection. The time of the royal family of God is the church age, which is the dispensational intercalation, interrupting the age of Israel. The age of Israel has been interrupted. It hasn't been finished. When the church age is over, the age of Israel will be completed. 7 years still to go, the 7-year tribulation period. So the time of the royal family of God is the church age, which is the dispensational intercalation, interrupting the age of Israel to call out the royal family of God. The church age is the only dispensation having both a royal family of God and a new spiritual species. That brought us to point three. Why are we here as royal family? We are here to live our life by the royal family code of honor. God has given us in this dispensation a royal family code of honor. And we've seen that in Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 14. In verse 12, that code of honor is an invisible uniform of honor. An invisible uniform of honor that you put on in your soul. And this invisible uniform of honor consists of maximum grace orientation and kindness, genuine humility, gentleness, patience, forgiveness, forgiving whatever grievances you may have against one another. You forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all of these virtues, you put on virtue love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Personal love for God the Father and occupation with Jesus Christ motivates your impersonal love for all mankind, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And in the time in which we live, there's way, way more bad and ugly. But we are to have impersonal love for all. In Colossians 3, 12 to 14, the spotlight is on impersonal love for all. Impersonal love cannot be reduced to the level of dog-eat-dog. That's going on all throughout our nation. You should have a relaxed mental attitude. You never reduce yourself to the norms and standards of those who attack and malign you. Impersonal love excludes carrying a grudge. You do not retaliate or seek revenge if wrong. Impersonal love of the royal family honor code totally forbids mental attitude sins and sins of the tongue. If you have mental attitude sins and sins of the tongue toward others, you are not living the spiritual life. You do not have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. The Bible, these are the sins that God hates the most. The only overt sin that He hates is murder. And we're seeing more and more of that in our society today. But then we have all of these people. We have socialists, liberals, Democrats. And when they get on social media and call any conservative a Nazi? Well, you're just, and there's so many people out there on social media. And those people that are on social media, most of them, they're not Christians. But there's a lot of Christians on social media too. I don't know. Well, some of you are on social media. I don't know why, but anyway, you're on it. And your iPad, iPhone, cell phone, computer, and all these things, you get more, all you get is deception and lies. Well, not all. Every once in a while, something's on there, and then you send it to Debbie, and Debbie shows me, oh, look what this was, somebody's son. Okay. But when you call someone a Nazi, you're just opening up the door and saying, it's justified to kill that person. You're justified to kill him because he's a Nazi, and you know how horrible the Nazis were. Trump is a Nazi. The MAGA people are Nazis. Christians are Nazis. Pastor Olson's a Nazi. Yes, I am. I am 100% dyed-in-the-wool Nazi for this reason. I believe in the living and true God. And I know that my living and true God is absolute righteousness. He has the standard for what's right and what's wrong. And I believe when he says in his word, this is wrong, I believe that. And he said, this is right, I believe that. And because I believe what God has put in his word, and you see these people that call conservatives Nazis, they're committing all of these things that God says is wrong. They're doing all the things God says is wrong. And the Christian, Bible-believing Christian, believes what God says in his word. So they're justified to, their hatred, they're justified to kill Nazis. They're justified to kill me and you. But they really hate God. Their hatred is toward God. God's the one who has defined what sin is and what sin is not. God is the one who's defined it. They hate God because they're doing all the things that God says are wrong. And if you state that, then you're a Nazi. And anyone, as you know, you can kill a Nazi. That's what we have going on today in our society. And yet you have a great privilege and an opportunity. The ultimate objective of the spiritual life is for you to have grow up to spiritual maturity and have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. That's the ultimate objective. We need that in America. We need that in America more than ever before. Virtue, love brought to completion in the hearts of Christians. And when you have that, you will have visible impact in our nation. So that's what Gaius had. Gaius had virtue, love brought to completion in his heart. He had personal love for God the Father, and that motivated his impersonal love for all mankind. All mankind. And occupation with Jesus Christ. That's God's ultimate objective for each one of you. That's what we need in America today. So impersonal love for all excludes carrying a grudge. You do not retaliate or seek revenge if wronged. Impersonal love of the royal family of God and the royal family honor code totally forbids mental attitude sins and sins of the tongue. And there are many passages that illustrate that. Proverbs 6, 16 to 19, the seven things that God hates. All of them are mental attitude sins and sins of the tongue except one, murder. 2 Timothy 3, 2 through 5, we saw that. Romans 14, turn over, we're going to look at, we ended with this last time, let's start with it tonight. Romans 14, 10 to 13. Romans 14, 10 to 13. Romans 14, verse 10. You then, why do you judge your brother? Why do you look down on your brother? Because we are all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. It is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will confess to God. So then, each of us will give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put a stumbling block or obstacle in your brother's way. The Royal Family Honor Code centers around three principles: truth, integrity, impersonal love, and grace orientation. That brought us to point four, violations of the Royal Family Honor Code. We saw that in Proverbs 6, 16 to 19, 2 Timothy 3, 2 through 5, and Matthew. Well, Matthew, that's where the Lord Jesus Christ gives his Bible class on it. So turn over to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. Stop judging. That's exactly how that should be translated. Stop judging, lest you be judged yourselves. For in the way you judge, you will be judged. And by your standard of measure, it shall be measured to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but you do not notice the log that's in your own eye? We got a lot of people out there running around with logs in their eyes. And they're looking at the specks in the other people. That brings us to point five. The MO of the Royal Family Honor Code demands grace. Our God is a God of grace. His plan of salvation is Operation Grace. The spiritual life is live by grace, 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 grace. Romans chapter 12, verse 20. Turn over to Romans 12, 20. Romans chapter 12, verse 20. But if your enemy, I want you to see that, make sure you see that, enemy, not your friend, not your family, but if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is still your enemy, if your enemy is thirsty, give him water. For by doing this, you will pile coals of fire on his head. You're operating on impersonal love. He's your enemy and you feed him. He's your enemy, you give him water. You're showing impersonal love for him. And by your impersonal love for all, you will pile coals of fire on his head. So you function in grace and you don't retaliate. You function in grace and you don't retaliate. Look at Romans 12, verse 19. Romans 12, verse 19. Never take your own revenge. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. So never, never take your own revenge. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. Impersonal love for all. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals upon his head. Verse 21 then concludes, stop being conquered by evil. Stop being conquered by evil, but conquer evil by means of the absolute good. And the absolute good is impersonal love for all. It is the royal family code of honor. You have, the winner believer has on in his soul the royal family code of honor. So, one, the royal family honor code demands grace orientation and grace modus operandi. By feeding your enemy when he's hungry, the believer leaves vengeance toward others in the hands of the Lord. This is impersonal love for all. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. So by feeding your enemy when he's hungry, the believer leaves hostility toward others in the hands of the Lord. Two, the royal family honor code never, never mandates the believer to stoop to the level of hatred, arrogance, or bitterness toward other believers. The royal family honor code never mandates the believer to stoop to the level of hatred, arrogance, revenge toward others. Three, the benefits of grace that we receive, and we have been graced out of our tree by the grace of God. The benefits of grace demand the function of grace. The benefits of grace demand the function of grace. We have been benefited by the grace of God. Therefore, we should function by grace. Four, retaliation, revenge, interferes with the justice of God. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Retaliation lowers the believer to the level of his enemies. Retaliation, revenge, lowers the believer to the level of his enemies. Never reduce yourself to the level of what you despise in others. Five, the royal family honor code demands that we never stoop to the level of evil or be overcome by evil. The royal family honor code demand that we never stoop to the level of evil or be overcome by evil. When we stoop to the level of evil, we are now overcome by evil. Sixth, the royal family honor code demands the high standards of virtue love and grace orientation. The royal family honor code demands the high standards of virtue love, impersonal love for all, and grace orientation. Revenge or retaliation is being overcome or conquered by evil. In Romans 12:21, overcoming or conquering evil by means of the good is the motivation of virtue love. Grace orientation and grace function in the Royal Family Honor Code. 7. The Royal Family Honor Code demands 3 applications. The Royal Family Honor Code demands 3 applications. Grace orientation and grace function to everyone. Secondly, impersonal love for all mankind. Not just the ones you like, but all mankind. And third, occupation with the person of Christ. The Royal Family Honor Code demands 3 applications. Grace orientation and grace function to all. Impersonal love for all mankind. And occupation with the person of Christ. 8. Any reference in the New Testament of speaking the truth is a part of the Royal Family Honor Code. The truth. What is that truth? Aletheia. The absolute truth of the Word of God. 9. However, lying, lies, deception, falsification, misrepresentation, fabrication, distortion of the truth, there's so much of this. This is most of social media. Lying, deception, falsification, misrepresentation, fabrication, distortion of the truth. That is a violation of the Royal Family Code of Honor. You're Royal Family of God. God has an invisible uniform for you to wear in your soul. And that invisible uniform is a code of honor. We don't see it very often today in America. We don't have that many believers in Jesus Christ who are in winner believers in spiritual maturity, who have virtue love brought to completion in their heart. Now, we have spent this time studying the doctrine of the Royal Family of God and the Royal Family Code of Honor because of this great winner believer named Gaius in 3 John. A couple of things to conclude about Gaius. 1. Gaius has the uniform of honor in his soul. Gaius has the uniform of honor in his soul. He is living his life by the Royal Family Honor Code. That's the best of the best. Gaius has this uniform of honor in his soul. He's living his life by the Royal Family Honor Code. He has virtue love brought to completion in his heart. And the Apostle John mentions that again and again. He has virtue love brought to completion in his heart. He has maximum grace orientation. He has impersonal love for all mankind. He has personal love for God the Father and occupation with Jesus Christ. He has great integrity and speaks the truth. And there is absolutely no lying, no falsification, no misrepresentation, no fabrication, no distortion of the truth. Two, we need lots and lots of Gaiuses in the United States of America right now. We need lots and lots of Gaiuses in the United States of America right now. Three, this is the only thing that will deliver our nation from the fifth cycle of national discipline. This is the only thing that will deliver our nation from the fifth cycle of national discipline. All right. So, the doctrine of the royal family of God, from our verbal adjective, agapetos, royal, member of the royal family of God. Thou doest faithfully. Gaius is a great winner believer, living his life by the royal family honor code. A couple of things. One, Gaius has made thousands and thousands of good decisions. He has made thousands and thousands of good decisions for walking in aletheia, walking in the absolute truth of the Word of God. That's where you need to be. Thousands and thousands of good decisions for walking, living your life in the absolute truth of the Word of God. Now, there are all kinds of things that can distract you from doing that. That keeps you from walking in the truth of the Word of God, so that you're not consistent and not faithful in assembling in a sound Bible teaching church. You're not consistent and faithful in learning and believing the Word of God. Lots of distractions. We have more distractions today than ever before. Two, Gaius always said no to the distractions. Gaius always said no to the distractions and yes to the absolute truth of the Word of God. Gaius always said no to the distractions and yes to the absolute truth of the Word of God. Three, he never, for one moment, ever lost track of what is really important in life. We're only here a short time. We're here today and gone tomorrow. Our time here is it's a fart. And when you get to my age, I'm an old fart, see. But we're just here a short time. And then, absent from the body, face to face with the Lord, for all eternity. He never for one moment ever lost track of what is really important in life. Four, money. That seems to be the bottom line in America today. Money, success, wealth, pleasure, power, these things are inconsequential compared to the spiritual life and the absolute truth of the Word of God. Money, success, wealth, pleasure, power, these things are inconsequential compared to the spiritual life and absolute truth, aletheia, the absolute truth of the Word of God. 5. The most important person in Gaius' life was the Lord Jesus Christ. The most important person in Gaius' life was the Lord Jesus Christ. Gaius loved the Lord Jesus Christ with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. You see, there's no human being, no member of your family, friends, who can take the place of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. 6. Therefore, Gaius not only assembled in a sound Bible teaching church and consistently and faithfully learned to believe the Word of God, but he also applied the absolute truth of the Word of God skillfully and accurately to his life with great, genuine humility. Therefore, Gaius not only assembled in a sound Bible teaching church consistently and learned and believed the Word of God, but he also applied that Word skillfully and accurately to his life with great, genuine humility. He had the greatest respect for the authority of God, the Word of God, and the communicator of the Word of God. Gaius had the greatest respect for the Apostle John. They right now, they don't have a pastor in Gaius' church. They don't have a pastor. Now, the head of the deacon board is the name of Diotrephes, and he is running the show. He thinks he is numero uno, number one. And he hates the Apostle John. The Apostle John has sent 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. Diotrephes refused to let any of them be taught in the church. None of them. He wouldn't let any of them be taught. He hated the Apostle John. He didn't have humility. Gaius has the greatest humility. Gaius has the greatest respect for God, the Word of God, the Apostle John, who has been sending these doctrinal letters, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. But Diotrephes wouldn't even let him be taught. Seven, Gaius has the uniform of honor in his soul, and he is living his life by the royal family honor code. Gaius has the uniform of honor in his soul, and he's living his life by the royal family honor code. You see, this letter, the Apostle John, the other letters never got anywhere. So this letter he sent specifically to Gaius. Not to the church, because Diotrephes would interfere. This he sent directly to Gaius. So Gaius has the uniform of honor in his soul, and he's living his life by the royal family honor code. 8. There can be no greater happiness for any communicator of the word like the Apostle John or for a pastor teacher today than to see or hear of his congregation walking in the absolute truth of the Word of God. That was the greatest happiness for the Apostle John. And that is the greatest happiness for any faithful communicator who beats his brains out studying, so he can feed the Lord's sheep. So in verse 5, the verbal adjective agapetos refers specifically to Gaius as a great winner believer. This letter was sent to Gaius, living his life by the royal family code of honor. And then we have the verb poieo. P-O-I-E long O, poieo. And poieo means, first of all, it means to do. It's about the easiest translation, to do, to manufacture, to produce. And then of actions that one undertakes, it means to cause, to bring about, to accomplish, to perform. And then it means to work, to act, to be active. But here's the key here. The key is the present tense. The present tense is a customary present. Customary present. There is a timelessness to this use of the present. It does not present action in progress, but makes a statement of general, timeless fact. It does not say that something is happening at the time of speaking, but that something customarily happens in your life, habitually happens in your life. So, this is saying, you are habitually doing. You are habitually acting. And then we have the adjective pistos. Pistos. P-I-S-T-O-S. Pistos. And pistos means trustworthy, faithful, dependable, reliable. So the corrected translation in verse 5 says, beloved, royal family of God, Gaius, you are habitually acting faithfully and reliably. That's the customary present. Royal family of God, Gaius, beloved Gaius, you are habitually acting faithfully and reliably. Whatever thou doest to the brethren. We have the neuter of the relative pronoun host plus the conditional particle aeon with the aorist middle subjunctive of ergodzomai, plus the prepositional phrase ace plus the accusative plural of adelphos with a definite article. The relative pronoun hos is in the neuter. H-O-S, hos, it's in the neuter. And it's combined with the particle aeon. E-A-N, aeon. And when you have host in the neuter combined with the conditional particle aeon, it's correctly translated in whatever, and then the verb ergodzomai. Ergodzomai, E. R-G-A-Z-O-M-A-I. Ergodzomai. As an intransitive verb, ergodzomai means work or be active. As a transitive verb, which is what we have, it means to do, to accomplish, to carry out. The aorist tense is a constative aorist. Now, this is very important. Constative aorist, just as the customary present was very important. Constative aorist. The constative aorist views Gaius, royal honor code function toward all fellow believers, all fellow royal family in its entirety. So the aorist tense is constitutive, viewing Gaius, royal honor code function toward all fellow believers, all fellow members of the royal family in its entirety. The middle voice is deponent, middle in form, but active in meaning. The subjunctive mood goes along with haeon, whatever, and puts the spotlight on the probability of Gaius' royal family honor code function. This royal family honor code function is accomplished eistus adelphon. Preposition eis, then the accusative of the article, tus, and then adelphus. That's adelphos in the accusative. So we got the preposition eis. Well, there's no sense making a mess of it. Let's be nice. Eis, and that looks the same in the... That's the article in the accusative, T-O-U-S. And then adelphos in the accusative is A-D-E-L-P-H-O-U-S. Eistus adelphus. For the brethren. For the royal family of God. So, royal family Gaius. Beloved Gaius. You are habitually acting faithfully, reliably, in whatever you have accomplished for the brethren, for the fellow members of the royal family. This guy, Gaius, all the other members of the royal family of God are blessed by association with Gaius. They're blessed by association with Gaius. He is the best of the best, and they are blessed by association with him. And then we have, and to strangers. This is the conjunction chi plus the accusative singular neuter of the demonstrative pronoun houtos plus the accusative plural of the adjective xenos. The conjunction chi is the emphatic use of chi, emphatic chi. It may be translated indeed, verily, really, in fact, especially. We're going to translate it especially. And then the demonstrative pronoun houtos calls attention to a certain category, putting the spotlight on that category. And that special category is xenos. K-S-E-N-O-S, xenos. Now, as an adjective, xenos means strange, foreign. But it's not used here as an adjective. It's used as a noun. It's a substantive. It's used as a noun. And therefore, it is translated a stranger or a foreigner, and specifically this includes missionaries that have come there. This includes evangelists that have come there. This includes pastors who have come there. They are all included in this word xenos. So, beloved, royal family Gaius, you are habitually acting faithfully, reliably, in whatever you have accomplished for the brethren, fellow members of the royal family of God, and especially when they are strangers, missionaries, evangelists, pastors. And these evangelists, these missionaries, these pastors who have come through the church there, they have been blessed in a remarkable way, blessed by association with winner believer Gaius. All these Christians that have come through, blessed by association with winner believer Gaius. And we're going to see how as we continue on in this section. We're still on looking at the best of the best in this church. The best of the best is Gaius. And we continue to see, and he... This is how, when you reach spiritual maturity and have virtue, love, broad completion in your heart, when you're living your life by the royal family honor code, this is the visible impact you have. Phenomenal blessing by association to the other members of the royal family of God. Phenomenal. It's fantastic. And I just can't stress enough. And for in the Apostle John, Gaius is the best of the best. Apostle John loves him. And it's resulted in the greatest happiness that any communicator of the Word of God can have in his soul, to see believers respond and walk in the absolute truth of the Word of God. And I hope that's where you will walk. Walk in the absolute truth of the Word of God. But we're going to take a look at this in detail. What this Xenos means and how that blessing by association worked in this church. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.